For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show for March 20th, 2025. I am Adriel Pearl. It's a busy time of year. There's so much in the news. There's so much over on FightfulSelect.com. The best $6 in the business. I'm already shilling. That's what I do. But it's also WrestleMania season, so clearly everyone's on the path to Vegas. TNA is as well, coming off of Sacrifice this past weekend in El Paso, Texas. A couple of nights of tapings. But before I get ahead of myself, my ride or die, my tag team partner is here. The one, the only, number one, Cresta Starr. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all good. You guys didn't see the slight panic before we started this. I was like, let me blow my nose real quick. And my nose exploded and there was snot everywhere. So I'm fantastic. Right on the buzzer. Here I am once again, torn into pizza. How are you, Joel?
I'm doing okay. I like that hat.
Thank you. I saw Elias and I was inspired. Me and Elias have, Elijah, that's his old name. We have the same taste of hats because I do have the red hat that he wore tonight.
It's a nice hat. It works. It's a nice hat. Can you play an E minor chord on an acoustic guitar?
Let me go get my guitar. One moment.
Oh, I thought you were about to appease the audience.
Oh, I can play trombone. I can play don't smoke on the water. Hey, I can play that on a guitar. That's it. A trombonist, yes. A guitarist, tee-hee.
Well, we don't need your tromboning, but we do need your smoke on the water by dropping us a thumbs up here on the video, of course. And subscribe to us here on Fightful. We got so much stuff, so much content, as the kids say on this channel. Yeah, we do all the live post shows. That's great. We're here. We do them. We love them. But also, you want to, you know, hear about the best ratings of 2K25, WWE 2K25. Sean Ross Sapp sat down and he spent an hour breaking down the rating systems. And for you dorks who are just like, oh, the rent is due. Well, you know what? I don't care. But I do care that you watch those videos. You want interviews? We got plenty of interviews. Bryan Danielson, that one dropped today. Go watch it. We got a lot of content. You want to hear journalistic integrity? Oh, it's not really journalistic. It's more like a magazine style, not even expose. How do I explain them? But anyway, the ones on Mike Straw are doing, they're fantastic. You want to hear about the time TNA and WWE went head to head? We got that. You want to hear about Tribute to the Troops? We got that. All the stuff. It's all there on this channel, which you will subscribe to right now. All right. Good stuff. Oh, and you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement right on the air, supports us here on the channel, which we also appreciate, goes a long way. And of course, you can donate a Humper Chat over at humperchats.com. Cresta, you know the deal.
Come on, y'all. Take your fingers or your thumbs, depending on which device you are using to watch us. Head over to humperchats.com. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds because, yes, Sean Ross Sapp does indeed and, in fact, pay us to be here and talk about wrestling for you. So that's going to be humperchats.com. We'll read your comment and we get to keep more and you're the best.
Thumper chats. I like that one. We'll stick to that.
I mean, April's right around the corner and I feel like that spring thumper.
Rabbit, Bambi and all that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been up since 5:30 in the morning and TNA was on tonight.
I mean, honestly, wrestling being on at 3 in the afternoon, 3 a.m. I don't know what. I just said, you know what, WWE, you got it. Shout out to European fans.
We've been spoiled. And it's going to happen again tomorrow with SmackDown if you're on the international feed. If you want to get in that NordVPN, of course, you can watch SmackDown internationally as well. I'm not going to plug it because they plug everything else on this show, but they don't do our show as far as I understand. But NordVPN.com/Fightful, and you can get in on the action and watch wrestling in the middle of the daytime, regardless of when or where or why. Go get it right now. Yeah, we've been spoiled.
Honestly, the Brit rest and European wrestlers, Japanese fans, y'all are watching WWE at all types of night. I've never felt so aggressed in my life, like a typical American. I feel aggressed at this time change. So y'all are real ones for watching all this time.
I mean, I also, when Raw was 3 hours, I would watch the first 2 hours and then I would watch the third hour the next morning. So I know what it's like. Sometimes you just go on tape delay. Here I am doing a post show at 10 o'clock at night and I'm like, oh, it's past my bedtime because I am old. Yes, I am.
What's old?
Well, TNA Sacrifice is in the book, so technically that's old. It's too old to talk about, but you know what? We'll kind of skim through it while we're talking about tonight's Impact. But overall, what do you think of tonight's show for Impact?
I am a Care Bear, and I enjoy all of wrestling, but tonight was a show that happened for me. I was wrestling.
Yeah, it happened. It really did just happen. Fallout from Sacrifice. Again, it was a fun show. Why didn't we do a post show? Well, there was a lot that happened, but nothing that was like, we got to talk about it right away. The biggest title change was the one that I've been talking about for months. It finally happened. The Elegance is our champions. I'm going to get right into that just because they beat Spitfire at the show. It was a 3-on-2 match. So it was the Elegance is an Iceman versus the Spitfire tag team. The Elegance is a win. That's great. And then at the end of that match, the Meta Girls from NXT, Lash Legend, Jakara Jackson, they make their presence known. They have crossed the line. They're going to be a part of TNA for the next little bit. Tonight, they start doing the Elegance party. They bring out a cake. They bring out 2 beefcakes. Sure. So I guess is that 3 cakes? How many cakes is that?
I was sports entertained in this moment. I was like, you know what? You got it.
Well, the Elegance are really excited about having won the tag titles. Ashby Elegance wants to make a wish, and then out come the Meta Girls, and they call themselves the best tag team of any division. And I'm like, but you haven't won the tag match since January 18th. And then Spitfire comes out, and they want the contractually obligated rematch. And I'm like, okay, that is something that they do. And then Gigi Dolin and Tatum Paxley from NXT come out, and they also say they want a title shot for some reason because they also haven't won a televised tag team match ever.
Damn, Joel.
So what do we do? Well, Santino comes out, and next week it's the Elegance versus Gigi Dolin and Tatum Paxley for the tag titles for some reason. And then he bans everyone from ringside, which, by the way, is the theme of the night. Everyone's banned from... That's TNA's new go-to. If you have a problem with WWE doing pull-apart brawls, I got a problem with TNA doing everybody's banned from ringside, because that's the stuff we're doing right now. And Santino, as he's doing this, cowers to Lash and Jakara. He's like, oh, you're much bigger in person than you are on TV. Yeah, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what to do? You just laid down the law. The NXT and TNA, and then his daughter, Ariana Grace comes out. And she's like, I'm in charge, and you're my best friends, and you're also banned from ringside. I'm like, so you're doubling down. Okay. What are we doing?
To be fair, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson did beat up those security guards. Yes. And in fact, Lash Legend picked a man up, lifted him up over her head, and she yeeted him. So if I was Santino, I too would be afraid.
I mean, I just...
I get what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing with you. Let me start there. Let me also go ahead and say that, why are we just giving out tag title shots? I mean, granted, I guess it doesn't matter.
Tag title.
Like, it doesn't matter, but by that same logic, wouldn't the Meta Girls have it first because they approached them first and not Tatum and hold on, I wrote this woman's name down. Thank you.
Too bad.
Yeah, like, Why would they get it? They weren't even out here first. And even then, shouldn't Spitfire get it first? Because they actually have a contractually. You know, sometimes wrestling makes my head hurt. And when it does, I focus on what I like. So I thought Jakara Jackson looked amazing here. And I also lived for Ariana Grace's boots.
Fair.
Same also, way. The elegances were dressed very nice. I give credit where credit is due. Yeah, Ash ate that. That dress was really cute.
I liked that that Ash was trying to do the I want to make my wish. And she was being the bratty girl and stuff like that is funny to me. And again, the elegances is winning the tag titles was expected. I just don't understand why these specific teams are, well, Spitfire makes sense, why these two specific NXT teams are going after these knockouts tag titles. On the other hand, I've said it here, I've said it on other shows, the NXT TNA partnership is great for the women's division of NXT because they're loaded and because they don't have as much, there's a larger discrepancy of talent experience on that roster. So they're sending them to TNA to get those reps, work with people who have experience, work with people who have been on the indies or in WWE or just involved in wrestling longer in front of different crowds. It makes sense. I get it. It was just really weird how they got to it. And there's a part of me that's like, they did 2 weeks worth of tapings in El Paso. So tonight's show and next week's show. Then they're going to be in Missouri, I believe, for two nights of TV tapings, which is basically 4 weeks. That will get us to Unbreakable and beyond Unbreakable, which is going to be very strange because I've said it here, I've said it otherwise. I do read the spoilers. I do keep up with what they taped, and they're going to have to tell the story of what is going into Unbreakable, which is going to be a live show, and then coming out of Unbreakable, what's going to affect the pay-per-view that is literally a week after Unbreakable airs live, but they have TV in the can that's going to also affect that. So here's my question. What is Unbreakable going to look like? And originally, I was saying to Jeremy on our morning show on In the Weeds, Unbreakable should be categorically different, presentationally speaking, from Rebellion, the pay-per-view. Rebellion should be a bigger show, but because it's WrestleMania week and you're trying to get people into the Cox Pavilion, it should be closer to a Worlds Collide style event where the NXT talent who are not involved with Stand and Deliver, therefore get involved with this show at Unbreakable. That's why I was thinking you do the Meta Girls versus the Elegances at Unbreakable. And this week you're doing the match with Paxley and Dolan. That's next week. But yeah, you get my point. And then you do the rematch. I don't know why, but you possibly either do the rematch at Rebellion or you just do the Spitfire TV rematch and that's it. But that's what I would do with Unbreakable is just do a lot of NXT crossover with talent that aren't doing Stand and Deliver. That's what I would do.
No, that makes sense. And that's what I thought too when the Metaphor Girls came out. I was like, out of everyone there, with respect to everyone, I know of the Metaphor Girls, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson. I know of them being a team together and Spitfire. I think ultimately that's your crossover. That's going to be your quote unquote draw, even if it is the Elegances. But that is something too that I would put at Rebellion. No, is it Rebellion? Which comes first?
Unbreakable is the week before Rebellion.
Okay. So you could even do a shock title change and be bold and put the Knockouts titles on Metaphor. And I saw someone in chat saying that these people, Metaphor and Dolan and Paxley, don't really get TV time in NXT. Admittedly, so I don't watch NXT. I'm not as caught up. So if this is fine and they don't have anything to do and it's going to be WrestleMania weekend, it'll put eyes, butts in seats. And to have, I personally like the look and presentation of Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend. I think Gigi Dolan and Tatum Paxley look really scrappy, but these two together just give me something like, I could beat you up for real, for real. It would be a gag, a goop, and something that people would talk about if you put the TNA titles on them. It don't have to be for long. You know what I mean? We could put the Knockouts title on them and it could really elevate them. I think it would also elevate the Knockouts division because the Knockouts division is hurting for tag teams. We are. Like, that's just real. And I think having these girls come in, maybe you build up another Franken team because we did have another tag match later on tonight. But, like, build up another Franken team or get another actual... The Hex. Like, do something. I don't know. I guess just me spitballing out loud, thinking that this would be really cute if you put it on even Tatum Paxley and Gigi Dolan, just so it could be like, wow, NXT won a TNA's Knockouts title, and the Knockouts division has so much goodwill with the women. I think it'll elevate no matter who you put it on.
So in terms of who's been on TV when and whatnot, Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend lost a match to Sol Ruka and Zarya February 18th. So about a month ago. Gigi Dolan and Tatum Paxley were lost on TV, losing a match to Sol Ruka and Zarya. That was the week before, about the 4th of February. So they've been off TV. Also, there was whatever was going on with Shotzi. She came back and now she's not on TV. But regardless, this Dolan Paxley Shotzi thing has been kind of blown up, or just not, they don't exist. And then the Meta Girls, they had their tag title shot. They lost it and haven't been really featured since. Mm-hmm. So like, I get why they're going over to TNA. It's a different playground. It's a different place for them to be, you know, spotlighted, or spotlit is the word. It's a very random grouping of women to go after the new tag champions.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I also feel that way about the elegance. I get that to an extent. I feel like the elegance is a means to an end, and nothing against the ladies doing it. This tag team doesn't connect with me. I've given it every chance I've got. it's very, for what I want, and this is just me being a fan, for what I want, it doesn't serve that purpose. And that's okay. Not everything has to be exactly what you want in wrestling. Diversity, baby, get into it. So I don't know.
Everything has to be exactly as I want it. Otherwise,
you know what? You're right. You're right. Yes. I need to start talking like a wrestling fan. If it's not what I want, this is crap.
That's right. If it's not to my liking, I don't like it, and I hate everything. Cyclops better than Wolverine, sending a super chat to prove this. Paying my $2.99 to know, Joel, why do you hate TNA?
Yeah, Joel, why do you hate TNA?
It's funny because, anyway, the show opens with Masha Slamovich. She beat Cora Jade at Sacrifice. A good little match. It was fine for what it was. Masha retains the Knockouts Championship, says she represents TNA with great pride, wants to be the best champion in all of wrestling, and that the Knockouts title proves that. She does the whole anytime, anywhere, anybody, blah, blah, blah. And then Karen Blanchard comes out. Sorry, her name is Tessa, I guess. But then she says a bunch of words. Then JC Jane attacks Masha from behind. Santino comes out, makes Jane versus Slamovich next week. And guess what? Tessa Blanchard's banned from ringside. Because that is the new stipulation for TNA.
No one was sad. Not a singular tear was shed. The only tears I have is that y'all muted the crowd this time. Why? That's my favorite part of the segment.
And then they go backstage and Ariana's like, oh, I didn't know this was supposed to happen with JC Jane. This wasn't the surprise. You already know about the surprise. Okay, that's fine. But again, it's, I don't know. I can't be asked to care about this Tessa versus Masha match that is inevitable for the pay-per-view, for Rebellion. Especially if they're just going to give Tessa the Knockouts Championship.
Yeah, that's what it's giving.
And the only thing I want out of that, if they're going to make us do that, is I want Masha to go after the women's, or to go after the men's world championship and say, screw you, I'm going to do the thing that you did, and I'm going to do it better than you. And let that be a thing. If they're going to
have Masha beat up Joe Hendry.
I don't care who beats up Joe Hendry, because the next person to do it's going to drop it to Ali anyway.
Not Masha beating up Ali.
Well, maybe he deserves it after the way he treated people tonight.
No, very that. And honestly, That match would really hoop.
Masha versus Ali?
Yes. Because I've seen her do intergender before. Masha can go, and Ali's really, I've never seen Ali do intergender, but Ali's really, 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 really good. That match would hoop. That match would feed families.
I'd enjoy it. I'm trying to see if we've done it before. No, they were in the same match when they did the Champions Challenge. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they have not been. Actually, and they were on the same team. Because that was a weird one. They didn't have the babyface dynamic. Anyway, it is what it is. Again, Tessa's banned from ringside. Sure. There's one thing that Karen's going to do is stay banned from ringside when she wants to come out and do whatever she's going to do.
Yeah, I've said my piece. I'm ready for the next segment.
I mentioned Ali, and I'm just going by what comes up in conversation at this point. I don't know how long this is going to be tonight, because this very much was a this match happened, this show happened type of show. Santana defeats Ali via countout. This was their rematch from Sacrifice. This match, by the way, if you're going to go back and watch anything from Sacrifice, Santana versus Ali. Shocker. Match of the night. Fantastic match. FightfulSelect.com, we had the news that Ali dislocated his jaw in that match and may have, as I joke, relocated, put it back into place towards the end of the match. And then TNA did the whole rundown of who's injured, who's not, and they said Ali had a jaw injury and Santana has a wrist injury. And Santana retweeted our report and effectively confirmed it in his own little way, while still keeping kayfabe. I appreciated that. But yeah, Santana defeats Ali. It was a good match. Santana goes for the rolling buck 50, and then he goes up top for the frog splash, and then Ali rolls out, tells commentary he already won a sacrifice, walks out. I love this line, Cresta. He says that I am the addiction that Santana will never conquer. And then Santana does It's My House, which, again, gets the crowd behind him. The post-match, and I'll get your thoughts on everything on this, Giamillo chases down Ali in the cabinet. Ali says he didn't run from Santana. He conquered him and says they are done, which clearly means they are not done. But this was really good stuff. Again, this is the A1 story in TNA. Your thoughts?
No, I agree with the A1 story. Absolutely right. I, knowing that Mustafa might have dislocated or did dislocate his jaw and wrestled the way that he did, this man can do no wrong. Except to Mike Santana. Hold on. Except to Mike Santana. This match was so good. So good. But I will also say again, this storyline has me like, yo, Ali, Santana's gonna harm you, bro. Like, again, I shout outs to TNA giving such a reverence to Santana's sobriety. And they've covered it beautifully. And then for Ali to come and pretty much pull down his pants and go, I cannot. This is sports entertainment. And it's what's the best part about this is, as much as it pulls on my emotional heartstrings, I know that you guys are gonna give it to me in the ring as well. So this is I live for this. The segment after, shout out to Gia Miller, because she had her Jerry Springer. Ali, please, wait, I want to talk to you. Ali's going to get jumped. And if Santana has to go through all of the cabinet, I wonder who he's going to get for Tasha Steeles. But either way, I'm sports entertained. That was my thought. Like, he might do what he did with the system. I'm going to go through all the system. He didn't really deal with Lish, but Lish isn't really a wrestler like Tasha is. Like, she wrestles, but she don't wrestle like every week like Tasha sometimes does.
Did.
Yeah.
Could probably, I mean, get not doing it.
I mean, right now she's in the cabinet, so it makes sense. But if I'm Santana, I know Tasha Steeles. I see Tasha Steeles beat up, what's his name, with the fanny pack. Oh my God. I keep wanting to say Daddy Magic, but that's the wrong promo.
Talking about, oh my God. It's gonna.
Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. Swing Daddy.
Swing Daddy.
Yeah. Johnny Swinger. Yeah.
How did I forget our dude's name? I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm so sorry.
We haven't seen him in far. I love Johnny.
You were Kid Leaf Pro last weekend.
I didn't see it, so I didn't know. Okay?
You were covering Collision. I get it.
I miss Johnny Swinger.
We all miss Johnny Swinger.
Remember when he found out what the internet was?
Dude, that was that was when they were in Toronto every other month. It was fantastic. I miss those days.
If I could fantasy book anything, Johnny Swinger with the Outrunners would cook.
Oh, dude, I'm going to pitch that to TK tomorrow. I'm just going to in the weeds. We're just going to go on that for an hour.
Bro, that would be the most aggressively 1987 to 1992 group you've ever seen in your entire life.
I would watch the hell out of that. I just would. I just would.
You son of a bitch.
Oh my God. Anyway, where are we?
Promo, Santana skedaddled. Not Santana. Ali said, I'm going to be a skedaddler. I'm not fighting this man.
They're done. I said it for weeks now. This is the Slammiversary main event.
Yeah.
This is for the world title. Ali needs to come back. One thing that I appreciate is that Santana, they did it in a way where Santana didn't feel like he needed to chase down Ali. They're technically 1-1. They're going to have a rubber match, but you can have Ali go after the world championship while Santana does whatever he's going to do. But again, I want to see, I'm going to have to see Ali wins, and then he makes Santana's life hell, and then Santana wins his way back into a number one contendership match. That's the Slammiversary match. That's the one. Ali and Hendry happens. That's where Ali wins the belt at Rebellion. That's where I'm at.
I'll be real with you. I think that to an extent, the care that you're giving to Santana and Ali, there should be an equal or equally important storyline going on with Joe Hendry, because right now the most important storyline or the most memorable one in TNA is Santana Mustafa. And that's just me being honest with you. That's my opinion. Let me just say that. This is my opinion before I act like I'm a wrestling pro historian. But that's my opinion. And in order, because if you have Ali versus Hendry, to me, that's telegraphed that Ali is going to win. I would love for Joe Hendry to win. Y'all know I'm a stan. I believe in Joe Hendry. Clap, clap. But if right now, if Joe Hendry's doing undercard stuff and your undercard has a main event storyline that delivers in the ring.
Well, let's talk about that main event then. Joe Hendry and Elijah defeat Myers and Edwards, the system. The story here was more, can the system continue being big old losers? Because they lost at Sacrifice in the 10-man cage match. Hendry and Elijah get the win again. Hot tag Hendry, good stuff. The system playing the polished bad guy tag team as they should, because Hendry and Elijah are not a polished tag team. They're new. Hendry wins. Elijah doesn't do the whole looking at the belt and pretending he's going after Hendry. I still think it's going to be Hendry and Elijah, maybe at Unbreakable at this point. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's the Rebellion match and the Ali thing is later. We have to get all the way to July with this, with Ali potentially being the champion going up against Santana. I would do it at the pay-per-view, have Ali have a reign of terror, but that's me. Regardless, Hendry is not long for this world title. he got a great reaction. It was the main event, but there's still no meaningful storyline for Joe Hendry and the world championship. He's in a tag team and he's losing to the team that has a bigger story of what's wrong with the system.
Trust the system. A little disappointed. No. Lish didn't come out and say, do you want to know? No, I agree with everything you said. I think there is a way to weave Ali into the Joe Hendry thing. If Ali is done with Hendry, you absolutely have Ali, done with Santana. You have him challenge Hendry. And Santana says, not on my watch. You have him screw him from Ali. So he has to put a pin in Hendry for now. And Hendry could be like, yo, bro, I respect that, but this was still my match. You didn't have to do all of that after he's done with Elijah. To me, that's a nice way to massage everyone in together. So whether Ali loses or wins against Hendry, we don't feel like it's a foreign conclusion. As far as the match is concerned tonight, I gotta say, Eddie Edwards is such a good wrestler. And if we're talking about me being selfish, I didn't see a face Eddie Edwards run. So I need that now. Tonight, he just shone for me. He's really good. I didn't see American Alpha or Wolves or whatever he was with, or Beer Money or whatever he was with. I deserve an Eddie Edwards face run. So as a fan, I need that now. Thank you very much. But yeah, this was a good match. I thought this match was fine. Joe Hendry catching Brian Myers and then pretty much deadlifting, fall away, slamming him is great. Again, I just want something meatier or more for Joe Hendry. Like I am into the Bard versus Bard situation. Him versus Elijah is going to be sports entertainment for me. I don't care about nobody else. That's going to be funny to me. But funny is one thing. I kind of want something where he could be like, Joe Hendry did this during his time as champion, and this was the meat and potatoes. This is something we can say, damn, you can say what you want about Joe Hendry with them songs, but he did this, and this match was really good. Because with Santana right now, I could point to Ali. This whole thing with Ali is delicious. Even the thing with the system, him running through the system was delicious. So I'm like, I want that same care for Joe Hendry. And if they need help, yo, have him beat up Ryan Nemeth.
Well, we'll get to the Nemeths in a minute. If you want your Edward Edwards babyface run, it happened. Monkey's Paw, while it was good because Edwards is a fantastic wrestler, you also have to deal with Tommy Dreamer being a part of the story, where he was giving the heart and soul of TNA to Edward Edwards, and a kendo stick too, named Kenny.
Does
And also there was a match against Sami Callihan where he infamously busted Edward Edwards' head in with the bat by accident.
No thanks.
Smacked his eye. Really, really messed up his eye bone. So
no thanks.
Orbital, as it were. Yeah, so there you go. Edward Edwards has had he's had babyface runs. He's just currently working really well the way he's been working.
Joel, why would you tell me that?
You wanted to know, so I gave you some info. You got TNA Plus. Dig in.
TNA Plus, the best $10 in the life.
It's $12.99 for us Canadians, and I just got a free month out of it so I could watch Sacrifice, because I don't need TNA Plus anymore. Anyway, the Nemeths, speaking of Sacrifice, that was the big story. No, Ryan Nemeth didn't turn on his brother, which is what he probably should have done. For some reason, his brother turned on Matt Hardy. Where do I start with this?
It made sense to me.
Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It made sense to you?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. I'd like to hear it.
Just talking about the end of Sacrifice, right? So 2-3 weeks ago on TNA, you called me with my brother and said he's a loser, and I made him cry. And what did Nick Nemeth say? Come on, that's my brother. You know how it goes. And you know what Matt Hardy said? Fuck all that. Your brother's a nerd. He's a loser. You're not gonna make fun of my brother and then think I'm gonna come and be your friend. That is my little brother. Don't do that. Don't do that. Like, it made sense to me. Like, I saw that coming. I hated it. Don't get me wrong. I hated it. But it made sense. You're not going to... Look at your brother, Matthew. Before you want to come for me, look at your brother, Matthew. Go get Jeffrey. Mind your business. Don't talk crazy about my... And you made him cry? I am my brother's keeper. I'm sorry. You're not going to talk shit about my brother. You would do the same thing for Jeff. So...
Ryan Nemeth stole his brother's rematch for the world championship.
It was gifted.
Pissed it away. His brother did not know, continues to not know, because the ongoing message here is Nick Nemeth doesn't watch the product. That's what it was with that FaceTime call that you just referenced, where he literally had to get set straight by Matt Hardy. Ryan's not doing any of the things that you said he's doing. He's being a giant piece of garbage and nobody likes him. And Nick was like, oh, well, I haven't been watching the show. I didn't know that. And then what does he do the next week? Again, he takes his brother's contractually obligated rematch clause. Now Nick is okay with that because, again, Nick doesn't watch the product. So everything you said, I get it, brothers, but also Nick Nemeth doesn't watch the product. Steve Macklin watches the friggin' product. He told you in a promo. He's like, I went back, I watched the match, I saw you, I got involved, I'm pissed, I don't like it. Nick Nemeth couldn't go back and be like, he's going to walk in one week. He's going to walk into that dressing room with Santino and be like, Santino, I think it's time I get my contractually obligated rematch from Joe Hendry's world title. And Tino's going to be like, I don't have that anymore. Your brother took it. I don't know why he sounds like Danhausen now, but I'm tired. And then it's going to have to be, Nemeth is going to look at his brother. Nick is going to look at Ryan and be like, when did this happen? And Ryan's going to be like, that never happened. And Santino's going to be like, roll the footage. And Nick's just going to walk out and be like, nope, I don't watch the show. This was no...
You don't even believe what you said.
It made no sense. It continues to make no sense. And now they're doing the whole, we're the best brother tag team. Since when? You win shit.
The Hardys always wanted a brother.
I get it. And I understand they're heels and they're supposed to be so full of themselves. I get it. But like, first of all, like the most heel thing that Nick did here was willingly wear a Cleveland Browns jacket. Okay, that makes you evil. It doesn't matter where you go. Nick is like, I made TNA popular again, because it's not because of the full rebrand and everyone getting mad. Sure. Again, he's a heel. He's supposed to be delusional. Fine. And then he's like, and then the Hardy slipped in and they stole all the credit. I'm like, that was like 3 months later. You didn't get that anyway. And then they're like, Matt tried to drive a wedge between the brothers, which is something that you said. And then again, I wrote to myself, Ryan stole Nick's title shot last week. So it's brothers tag teams. And that's it. Leon Slater comes out. That's good. And he's like, I will not stand for this Hardy slander. And Slater I'm going to steal the show from Nick Nemeth. That's what I did. And then Nemeth is like, well, I'm the rich guy vet. So you're a dick. And Slater's like, all right, well, what are you going to do about it? And Ryan's like, you're going to face my big brother next week. And Nick doesn't even flinch. Nick and Slater is next week. Slater gets laid out by Nick Nemeth, and that's the segment. But again, the fuck?
Leon Slater played himself. I'm going to tell you why. Mind your business. If this is two brothers, if this is brother stuff, if this is family, mind your business. And you, where is your brother, Leon Slater? You were going to get jumped. If this man is that delusional that he's capping for his brother, who everyone finds annoying.
You know what Leon Slater should do? He should bring Heath out and he should say, this is my brother.
That's actually my dad. I'm one of his kids. He's got kids.
That's what I need. I need him to come out and say, my brother Heath is going to beat the shit out of you and your brother. TNA is just going to be all brother and sister tag teams.
I honestly want Heath Slater, honestly, to just be Leon Slater's dad. I know that's not believable, but I don't care.
My cousin Heath.
My cousin Heath.
Just unbelievable. Someone saying I speak like Vince Russo. You bite your fucking tongue.
Listen here, bro.
No, not nowhere. No, thank you. Not happening.
Hot. Anybody else hot?
I mentioned the Macklin promo. This was good. Again, I do appreciate that he watches the product, says, I saw what you did at Sacrifice. Macklin beat Frankie Kazarian, which was a bit of an upset considering Kazarian's been on a bit of a tear. He's been winning singles matches. Macklin had been on a slide, but the way Macklin won was EY had produced brass knuckles and behind the referee's back used them on Kazarian. Macklin got the win. He didn't know at the time that EY got involved. EY was on commentary, and effectively this segment, this promo was Macklin saying, I don't need your help, I don't want your help, done it all on my own, and I'm gonna die on this hill all by myself. I do not need you. This is not how we're gonna do things. We're going back to Macklin and EY already, I guess. Is this the match for the pay-per-view then? The actual pay-per-view, not the Unbreakable.
It could be. But I also want to say, I'm really happy for Macklin. Because I remember when Macklin first got here, he was kind of in the undercard and I was giving him grief. And now I give him all the praise. So he's on TV every week doing it. He's got meaningful story after meaningful story. And this one, I'm really sports invested in. It's one of those things where it's like, yo, Eric Young, leave this man alone. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Also, again, I got to shout out TNA's production team. Because during this promo, one of the things I noticed was that while he was talking, they were showing flashbacks between him and his old matches and him in his uniform. And like, I guess potentially like war flashbacks or like when you were in basic training. Like, come on. Like, they make Steve Maclin look like at any time he could be the guy. At any time he could be the guy. Him with Eric Young is great. And I think him working with the Northern Armory is great too, because these young men have really pushed themselves up the rank, not needing Josh Alexander. I just like Eric Young, leave him alone. Like, leave him alone. And he said that's not the way he does things. And you know that's not the way he does things. Not to sound like a corny piece of shit, but like, face towards enemy, not stab them in the back. Like, what are you doing, Eric Young? And also, I still wouldn't trust you. You got stabbed. Get out of here.
Once again, Eric Young is a ghost.
He's the specter of TNA.
He's not real. He's dead.
That mother is not real.
That's right. He's a damn ghost.
Well, that ghost joined the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Well, that ghost was on commentary for the opening contest of the Rascals defeating the Northern Armory. At that Plus show, the Rascals and Ace Austin defeated Wesley, Tyreek, and Tyson. Again, a solid match. Rascals finally got that win. They finally got that, you know, that monkey off their back. Still think Tyreek and Tyson are going to win the NXT tag titles, and I think the Rascals are going to come around and win the NXT tag titles and be the first TNA talent, TNA wrestlers, to win NXT gold. I think that's the way it's going to go. That's a really safe way to do it. You've got Zachary Wentz, who used to work WWE, Nash Carter, when he was with MSK. There's the story with Wes Lee. You've got Trey Miguel, who at one point was supposed to go to WWE, has been doing stuff, cross-branding with WWE, with the Rascals and with Wentz. It's, again, a very safe bet. That's where I would go. That's where I think it's going. Tyson and Tyreek are on the up. They're getting so many reps. They're working WWE Evolved. They're working TNA. They're working NXT. They've been on all the shows. They're getting those reps, and I think it's time for them to move up. But they lost the match. Rascals and Ace won. So Eric Young, who is a ghost, is on commentary. The match was fine. The first thing I thought to myself was, we need to put something on Sinner and Saint when they're wearing those white hockey masks.
Yeah.
That's awkward when they just come out wearing those white masks and they're just in their little trunks and boots. And I'm like, that feels weird.
It's giving Violet by Design with no jacket, no yellow jacket.
Yeah, put a jacket on them if you have to. It's a good match, good back and forth. Feed them to the Lions. That's the win for the Rascals. Post-match, Northern Armory surround the Rascals. Ace makes the save. Feels like it'll be those three on three, possibly an Unbreakable. Ace Austin's going to take on EY next week. So Ace versus the Ghost next week. What do you think of the tag match?
I'm going to be real with you. I think I wrote two notes before this was over. I felt like this went relatively fast. And it's like what I expected. The Rascals get the win with their, oh my God. Looks at notes. Didn't write the Rascals pin name. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, it's called Feed Them to the Lions.
Thank you. Feed Them to the Lions. Yes. They work like a well-oiled machine. At some point, we got to do something with Sinner and Saint. Like, I get that they're lackeys and that's their job. But we're going to have to, like you said, we have to put something on them. I do think, though, I don't know how this is going to work, but does Ace Austin get injured and he gets replaced with Steve Maclin at some point? So the big 3v3 would be them, because not for nothing. I do think it's time for Ace Austin to do digital media, X Division. It's time for Ace Austin to continue being a single star sans ABC. Nothing against ABC, the Rascals. However, I think when Chris Bay eventually, if he comes back, hoping for the best, he would have like a solid base, a solid partner. But I think it's time that Ace Austin does something different. That's just my opinion.
So I think the six-man doesn't include Maclin.
Okay.
I think the six-man is Rascals and Ace versus Northern Armory. EY and Maclin become the one-on-one match at Rebellion. Maybe Rascals help get rid of Sinner and Saint during the match itself, but not as an official trios match. It's just one-on-one. That's where I see it going. Okay. Maybe Ace gets taken out. You mentioned Chris Bay. I do want to point out Chris Van Vliet dropped an interview with Chris today. That was fantastic. It's about an hour and a half. It's over on Chris's YouTube channel. Chris speaks very openly, very honestly about not just the incidents that happened at Bound for Glory, the night after Bound for Glory, the one that caused literally everything that he's going through right now, but, you know, talks about his recovery and what he's going through and how long he has to go. And he's very thankful. And I do recommend everyone who is invested in this, who cares about TNA, who cares about Chris Bay, go and listen to this interview. He's, again, he's full of gratitude. He's very grateful to still be here. Him coming back to wrestling is a maybe, is a who knows.
Yeah.
It's a never say never for him. He's very focused right now, and he's in a very good place. Someone in the chat mentioned the benefit show for Chris Bay. So on In the Weeds this past Wednesday, so this was yesterday, Jeremy and I actually had Joe DeFalco, who is the owner of FSW, Future Stars of Wrestling. That's where Chris started. Chris started that. He started working there in Vegas along with Alexander Hammerstone, Karrion Kross. Those guys were like the pillars of FSW. They are doing a show this Sunday. Sunday or Saturday? It's this Sunday. It's on Triller. It's Mecca. It's called The Benefit for Bay. Chris is going to be there in attendance. Karrion Kross is taking on Alexander Hammerstone. That's WWE's Karrion Kross. He's taking on Hammerstone. Swerve is taking on Kenny King. You've got Ricochet is going to be there. Leo Rush is going to be there. The Rascals are going to be there. So Joe was on the show, and we were talking to him not only about how this all came together and everything, but like he pointed out the fact that this is the first truly Forbidden Door show ever. Like WWE talent is going to be there, and there might be two more, by the way. They're waiting on the full confirmation that he teased that, so I'm not speaking out of school. They're waiting for two women to potentially be solidified. I think one of them actually might be Zoe Stark, and the reason I say that is because she was also very involved with FSW back in the day. But also, yeah, you've got all of these men and women from across all these companies, from TNA, from AEW, from WWE, working on a cross-branded show for the benefit of Chris Bay. All the money is going to Chris. You got to go check out this interview with Joe that we did on Wednesday, but also check out the interview with Chris Van Vliet. Very good stuff. I don't know if you've had a chance though, but yeah, go check that out. And also for those of you talking about Bloodsport, totally different because they don't use any of the AEW branding when it comes to those bookings. They use the WWE branding because they have to, but with the AEW, they don't seem to be.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it. I've pretty much been in the weeds this week, but that's exactly what I'm going to be doing after this. It's crazy because I did see this in the chat. It's like there's so much support for Chris Bay. And no, for real, there is. And I haven't heard not a singular person, fan or pundit or wrestler alike, have anything negative to say about this person. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you are a good person and you lead with compassion and you're honest and you're truly authentic and you're a good person, it speaks volumes for who you are, because people going out of their way to make a GoFundMe, people went out of their way to check on him. They're doing a benefit. So I love this for him. I first found out about Chris Bay from that clip many moons ago where he was doing a flip off the top rope and the rope broke.
And he makes reference to that in the Van Vliet interview. And he says, that's the time I should have actually broken my neck.
What? You know what? Fair. But you know what? Like, I'm so happy that he's got these people, a tribe around him. So I'm hoping for the best. And unfortunately, wrestling in the past, I want to say 5 years has extremely spoiled me. So I heard Edge was never going to come back. I heard Saraya was never going to come back. I heard some of these people that I never got a chance to really see, Bryan Danielson was never going to come back. And here they are, back again. So let's focus on the young man getting together, but, you know, hoping for the, selfishly speaking, hoping for the absolute best, you know?
Absolutely. I mentioned Chris Van Vliet. I mentioned In the Weeds. For those of you who don't know, we are better than Busted Open. But if you are a fan of Busted Open and you are a fan of Chris Van Vliet, they're actually going to be at Circa over WrestleMania weekend. They're going to be there for the entirety of the show. You know what? Maybe I'll be there too at Circa Mania. That's at the Circa Hotel and Resort over in Las Vegas over WrestleMania week. You can check them out. They are the hotel to be at. They are the place to be. Like I said, Van Vliet will be there. I'm gonna challenge everyone at Busted Open to a fight at Circa Mania. So that's the place where you want to be. Go check that out. it's going to be the place at Vegas. And again, shout out to Chris Bay. Shout out to that interview. That was, again, great stuff. So many articles are coming from it. So many people are showing their support for Chris. That show, the benefit for Bay this Sunday, go check that out. It's worth it. I promise.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do it this Sunday. I have to record Saturday. It is going to be a short one. And then I'm just going to watch that on Sunday. I do have a Triller account.
Good. Get it and get your money if you can into Mr. Bay's account.
Into his pocket. Weird. I don't have a pocket up here.
Just directly put it in there.
like your grandma used to do. What's this, grandma? Don't worry about it, baby.
Don't worry about it. Just have yourself a nice night, okay?
Enjoy some ice cream.
Grandma, ice cream's $100. Get the fuck out.
Grandma comes back 10 minutes later. Don't tell your mother I gave you this.
Exactly. Oh, your mother probably doesn't like Mance Warner. He beat Magno. It was very quick. He also beat Sami Callihan at Sacrifice. This was a good street fight. At one point in that Sacrifice match, I want to draw this back. Sami Callihan throws a chair into the ring and hits Mance Warner right in the face. That was a hell of a match. But this match was just another, let's give Mance Warner a win. He beats Magno, who is El Paso wrestling legend because he's been around forever. Yeah, that was it. I don't know if you have anything to add about the Mance Warner quick beat up.
Once I saw the luchador mask, I knew what it was fucking for.
Well, speaking of the luchador masks, let's talk real quick about the first class penthouse with Chavo Guerrero. First of all, AJ, I know you're listening. I just need you to hear this from my mouth this time, not from Chris's mouth.
I hope you're about to say what I wrote down. So I'm going to turn the page real quick.
Do you own a belt to wear with those pants? Was that what you were going to say?
Nah. But
I like jacket. I like the
fit was nice. The jacket was ill-fitting. That was a child's jacket.
Oh, I think the idea was that it was supposed to be open a little bit and a little tight. And my problem was like, you gotta wear a belt with that just to make yourself, you gotta make it pop.
If he put his hands up, the shirt would be down here. I'm hating a little, the concept was nice because the shoes matched the jacket. It was given very leprechaun. I was here for it with the gold accents. I see. But also, like, a size up. No.
All right. You
AJ's win. Gonna beat me up. AJ's gonna beat me up. I'm gonna get a threatening DM. And I'd be like, you got it. That's fair.
He's gonna show up to Circa at a Busted Open event. And he's gonna be like, I'm gonna beat up Joel Pearl. And he'll be like, I'm all right, let's go.
I'm gonna run. That's what I'll do.
they call El Paso poor, and then out comes Chavo, of course. They go back and forth, and then Frankie Kazarian comes out, and I love it. He grabs the mic from Casey Navarro. He says, give me that, you're gross.
Casey Navarro gets this much respect, none.
It's just the deadpan delivery. Give me that, you're gross. He calls back the Hernandez and Chavo winning the tag titles from Bad Influence in like 2012. I was shocked that they did that. For those who don't know, Hernandez and Chavo then do like a whole ass thing with Bad Influence and like the bromance into 2013. But anyway, I like that they draw back to 2012 and the tag titles. So they set a trios match. It's going to be Frankie Kazarian and First Class taking on the Aztec Warriors. That's the team of Chavo, Laredo Kid, and Octagon Jr. Laredo and Octagon teamed up at Sacrifice to take on First Class. Cresta, can you guess who won that tag team match?
Chavo Guerrero. For $500, Alex.
No, you would be losing your money. First Class won that because if you are a luchador who is not a superstar coming into work in TNA,
that's right.
You big old loser. Big time loser.
I thought for a second that Chavo Guerrero could, you know, I thought his name was doing something, but I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it is, but Chavo only showed up tonight for the first time. He wasn't at Sacrifice. Losers.
Fair. You got it.
Yeah, you got it. And then the last thing we really have to cover tonight is Gia Miller's backstage with Xia Brookside. Xia got misted last week. She's still feeling it today. Rosemary interrupts on the TV screen, and it kind of seems like she's trying to turn Xia, but either way, they say, let's do a tag match. You find a partner, I'll find a partner. That turns into Xia Brookside and Laying Lee going on again. They defeat Rosemary and Savannah Evans. Laying Lee lost her match at Sacrifice. Sure. She's still great. Love her. Fantastic. It's a slow match to start. They're feeling out each other in a lot of the spots. It was a little awkward, a little clunky, but otherwise it was fine. Rosemary accidentally missed Savannah Evans. Laying Lee powers up Savannah Evans and drops her in a really weird predicament. I can't explain what that was. But then she gets up, hits Thunderstruck, gets the win. Ling Li back in the win column. Savannah Evans gets misted right in the face.
Sometimes you just got to get misted. I mean, I like the idea of trying to turn Xia Brookside heel, but she only been here for a cup of tea, girl. Let her get some footing in. You know what I mean? I understand Rosemary, like, because Xia Brookside to me is solid in the ring. I can understand Rosemary, like, we're going to pull a character out of you one way or the other. I'm going to spit in your eye or you're going to fight me. So, and Rosemary is one of those wrestlers who she's going to bring it out of you. It's like, I've yet to see, that's a lie. I've seen one bad Rosemary match, but that's because she got her arm broke and that was gross. And that's the only reason why it was bad. Yeah, that was, also just wanted to point out in the first class segment, when AJ told Chavo, if I wanted to get the second most popular Guerrero, I'd call Dominic.
The best.
I'm like, yo, get out. Get out. Get out. This is why I never feel bad when I have to critique AJ Francis, because I know you. Why would you say that? And then Chavo not making it any better after that. Yeah. You know, my brother was a looker. Like, yeah,
word's still out on that one. I thought that was very funny.
That was, I mean, because that was.
Because when he said it, I was just like, what did he? Oh, all right.
I'm of the camp that that Dominic Mysterio is Dominic Guerrero. And I don't care. I don't care. You could get a paternity 23 in me. Still real to me, damn it.
You think Dominic watches the product?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I think Dominic is a sponge, if I had to guess. Because who else would go on the Logan Paul show and be like, are you shadow banned from Japan?
Yo, that was, that's a whole other can of worms.
I'm just saying, he's a child of the internet. So of course he's going to have the bang, bang. He came out with a mustache that came down to here and stopped. He's not afraid.
He knows what his daddy was sporting.
Come on now.
His
real daddy, like big mommy's like Rhea. So come on now, knock it off.
Shout out China. Dex Baker sends a super chat saying, whoa, babyface Eddie, Joel, you're dismissing the bland 2016 TNA title run of Eddie and his transitional 2020 We Fire Tessa world title run. Oh no, I wasn't dismissing it. I was not giving credence to it. It did exist.
I totally forgot about the We Fire Tessa Eddie run, because that is something I do remember.
That's where the baseball bat stuff happened.
I didn't get that far.
Maybe you should have. It's the only redeeming quality of it all. Ugh. They milked the shit out of that baseball thing. This was at a time when they were batch taping so much, and they were like, this week, Eddie Edwards gets his socket caved in.
This calls
by Sammy Callahan. You have to see it to believe it.
You have to see it.
And then they aired it, and the match was whatever. And then last week, Eddie Edwards broke his orbital bone in a gritty, gross war with Sammy Callahan. How will Eddie Edwards fight back? And you're like, well, he won't, because he can't see out of one eye for the foreseeable future.
Even that gratuitous is not as bad. You know what? I'm going to let it rock. I had to see The Rock and John Cena turn heel on one episode of Raw no less than 9,782 times. So, yeah, it's your product. Do what you want.
Sammy has a baseball bat. Eddie has a kendo stick. What happens when these two unmovable forces meet in the ring? Find out tonight on Impact.
TNA Impact, this is my destiny.
No. They were not using that theme. That would have been very nice. No, this is when they were doing the old Impact theme. Not even We Own the Night. This was like...
That's the only one I was thinking of, like, We Own the Night.
The day they bring that back will be hell for everyone. But it won't be next week, because next week is going to be Gigi Dolin and Tatum Paxley versus the Elegants. Laredo Kid Octagon Jr. and Chavo take on First Class and Kaz in a trios match. Masha Slamovich takes on JC Jane, and Tessa Blanchard is banned from ringside. And for Dolin and Paxley, Elegants is all the women are banned from ringside. Eric Young takes on Ace Austin. Eric Young is a ghost, so we'll see where that goes. And Leon Slater takes on Nick Nemeth. That's the show. We did it.
Hooray. Don't die. Whoa.
Oh, I'm going to, because, again, since 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm tired.
Let's wrap this chicken shit show up.
Jonathan Gresham's working Bloodsport this year. That's pretty damn great. They just announced that. Love it.
Where is Jonathan Gresham?
Everywhere. He's training at a school. I know that much. Like, he is a trainer.
Okay.
He's helping his wife wear giant platform boots.
She was dressed like Patrick from SpongeBob.
That was the meme. Yeah,
I immediately got it, especially when she's like, "Hello, this is Grace." No, this is Grace. No, this is Jordan. Get out of here. Krusty Krab. No, this is Jordan.
They know what they're doing. But yeah, Jordan's being helped by her partner, by Mr. Gresham. But we'll see what happens with him. Him doing Bloodsport looks like fun. I'm going to go. Tell you what, I'm going to go to WrestleMania week. How about that? I'm going to be there.
Love that.
I'm going to go to that show. Maybe I'll even go to Unbreakable. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know if TNA wants me around anymore. We'll find out.
Pay for your ticket. I'm looking for a ticket thing. I paid for a ticket.
I am.
I mean, a ticket paying customer.
Anyway. I'm media.
I would pay for my ticket. Work. And if you tried to kick me out, this is my ticket. I paid for this from Shake Shack. I paid for this.
This is my Impact 2023 emergence ticket that I once bought.
What is Crescent Star doing in the Impact Zone? Getting kicked out.
Speaking of getting kicked out, let's get out of here. Crescent, what you got going on?
Apparently, I'm getting kicked out of this channel.
Well, so am I. It's all good.
Every Thursday, I'm here with Joe Pearl going over all things TNA Impact. And every Saturday, I'm here also on Fightful going over all things AEW Collision with Iridian, Rick, and myself. Every Sunday, I have my podcast, Slap Grapple Pop, which you can find over on YouTube at Crest of Star. We talk about all things professional wrestling. And I just put my new one up, so definitely go and check it out. To find me on social media, you can just take your fingers and type Crest of Star anywhere that social media is available, except for Facebook, because I don't have that. Or Twitter, because it's Cresta the Star, like Megan Thee Stallion. No matter where else you go, there's a link tree in my bio. You can find all of that fun stuff. I think I did that succinctly. Joel, where can the people find you?
Easy to find. I'm at Joel Pearl over on the one place. I am at thejoelpearl.com over on Blue Sky. Everywhere you find me, I still talk about the wrestling. I go in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with Jeremy Lambert over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. I'm here every Thursday with Cresta Star. WrestleMania season is going to mean some weird scheduling, but we'll still be around when we can be. I'll be here next week. I think Cresta might not be, but we'll find out, shall we?
Won't be here, unfortunately.
Well, then I will be here. I will be here running down the show with y'all in the chat, one-on-one. I'm banning Cresta from ringside.
You know what? You guys have a... Not me getting bad for that's fair. That's fair.
Cresta Star, you know who I am. You know who she is because I just told you who she is. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers. Bye. Everyone's banned from ringside. Everyone's banned from ringside. Get out.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.